Next Tuesday, voters in California will decide the political fate of Governor Gavin Newsom in a special recall election. If recalled, Newsom will be the third state governor in U.S. history to be removed from office through a recall. A lot is also at stake politically for the state of California. Republicans want to replace Newsom with a conservative, and many Democrats in this deep blue state have voiced their dissatisfaction with Newsom's pandemic response. Today, Vice President Kamala Harris is in the state campaigning for the embattled governor. And for more on what's at stake, let's bring in Scott Schaefer, senior editor for KQED in San Francisco, and Sean Hubler, who is a California correspondent for The New York Times. Welcome to you both.
Thanks, Tanya.
Hi.
Thank you for being here. So first, let's remind people how this all works, because recall elections are pretty unusual. Voters have a choice between keeping Newsom or removing him. And voters also have a list of dozens of candidates to replace him if he were to be removed. What's the latest polling saying about how likely Newsom will be recalled? And I'll start with you, Scott.
Well, there are a lot of polls, of course, as there always are, but one of the most reliable is the Public Policy Institute of California, kind of the gold standard in the state. And last week there was a poll out showing that really things haven't changed that much. Opposition to the recall is pretty strong, with about 39% support versus 58% voters saying no. But it all comes down to who's going to vote? Who are the likely voters? And a few weeks ago, I think there was a lot of concern that Democrats weren't as engaged as Republicans. And so that would shift the electorate more toward a pro-recall position. That seems to be changing. There's some evidence both in that PPIC poll, but also as we track the ballots that come back. You know, everyone, 22 million plus voters, got a ballot. So some people, more than 6 million, have turned them back. And so we can have a sense of whether Democrats or Republicans and other demographic groups are returning their ballots. And so far, it seems like Democrats are pretty engaged.
Well, Scott, you're bringing up a big issue that was talked about quite a bit, is that many people do not vote during special elections. You mentioned 22 million registered voters and they all received ballots. What is our latest understanding of how many people are likely to cast a ballot at all?
Well, incredibly, you're right. There, you know, special elections, sometimes they see, you know, in extreme cases, less than 10% of people vote. We had a recall election in the East Bay recently. Again, very low, relatively low turnout. But this election seems to be different. Right now, one of the polling firms that or nonpartisan firms that tracks these ballots says that the turnout is not that different from the 2020 presidential election, which, of course, was in November. Mm-hmm. Presidential elections are always very high turnout. So just even the fact that that's a conversation, that there is some resemblance to the electorate from 2020, suggests that, you know, a lot of people are paying attention and we could have a relatively high, if not very high, turnout.
And that's probably because a lot is at stake. Sean, Democrats have long had a tight grip on the state's political leadership. But right now, conservative commentator Larry Elder looks to be the leading candidate to replace Newsom if he were to be recalled. How did Elder become the front runner?
Yeah, so he kind of came in late. He declared his candidacy later than most of the other Republicans who are on the ballot, and he kind of came in at the urging of conservatives who were concerned that the folks they had out there weren't getting the support, weren't getting the traction and the money that's needed to run statewide in California. This is a very difficult state to run a campaign in. It's 40 million people. It's got like five or six major media markets here, and it costs a lot just to even get the name recognition. And Larry Elder, when he came in, had what the other candidates, even some of them who had been in politics, you know, for their whole lives, didn't have. He had name recognition, and he was a known quantity to voters, and they knew him from the radio. He'd been on the air first in Los Angeles and then sort of in national markets, hundreds of national markets since the 1990s. He's a Black conservative lawyer. His views have been fairly unchanged for decades. They're sort of he calls them small L libertarian views. He's a Republican, a conservative, and he entered the race because they felt that he could sort of be their known guy, and he could gather the money and the support that the other Republicans sort of weren't getting. And he has been competitive. He has he got in there, and once he got on the ballot, the money started to flow and the support started to flow.
Well, bigger picture, Sean, what do Republicans ultimately want to accomplish in this recall? Of course, they want that governor's seat, but this is actually a big deal.
It is a big deal. It's a big deal both for Democrats and for Republicans. On the Republican side, in some senses, they even if they lose this week recall, they win. They the Republican Party, it has been dwindling in power in California for decades, and are down to about a quarter of the electorate, and they're outnumbered 2-1 by Democrats, and they're even basically with a decline to state voters and independent voters. And so this gives them a chance to raise their issues that are important to them in a way that they typically actually can't do in regular policy debates in California. They're largely sidelined. They're a super minority in the legislature, and none of the state hasn't elected a Republican in 15 years since Arnold Schwarzenegger statewide. Mm-hmm. And so This is important to Republicans because it gives them a platform finally to kind of put their issues out there. It also is important nationally for Republicans because, for example, the governor of California will appoint a Senate replacement for Dianne Feinstein if for some reason her Senate term were to end prematurely, and if that happens, a Republican of course would appoint a Republican senator, and that would then swing the balance of power in the Senate to Republicans' hands and endanger the Biden agenda.
Well, as I mentioned, Vice President Harris is in the state today. Other high-profile Democrats are also stumping for Newsom. The White House has even said President Biden intends to campaign. Scott, is there any indication that this attempt to tie Newsom to broader Democratic Party success is going to win him any voters?
Well, it's certainly getting a lot of attention. I mean, anytime the vice president and president come to town, it gets a lot of media attention. And that is what the name of the game is right now as we go into this home stretch, Tanya, is getting people to A, pay attention, and B, convince them to turn in their ballot, make sure they understand what, from a Democratic point of view, is at stake in this election. You know, we've seen not just the president and vice president planning to come, but also Amy Klobuchar. We've seen Senators Bernie Harris and Elizabeth Warren on television urging Democrats to vote. So, and Larry Elder getting in has enabled Gavin Newsom to really make this a national election, because Larry Elder is clearly going to be the replacement if Gavin Newsom is, in fact, recalled. And, you know, some of the statements Larry Elder has made are pretty out there. In fact, yesterday, Gavin Newsom called him to the right of Donald Trump. He's talked about slavery reparations for slave owners, because, you know, slavery was legal back then. He's talked about women should just sort of be quiet in the workplace when they're discriminated against. He's, you know, said all kinds of things about crime. And, you know, he's African-American, and I think a white candidate could not get away with some of the things he has said. For example, he says racism is overplayed, that police, the way police treat unarmed black men is not racism. He gets away with it because, and this is what he does for a living. He's a sort of one of these provocateurs on the radio.
Exactly.
And he's taken that into the campaign.
Mm-hmm. What are you hearing, Scott, from Democratic and independent voters who may have supported Newsom initially, but are now deciding whether or not to keep him?
Well, you know, there was a lot of anger back in, say, November, when Newsom went to this fancy restaurant without a mask, and it really mobilized a lot of opposition to him at the time. I mean, schools were closed, parents were frustrated, a lot of people were unemployed. And so a lot of people signed out of frustration and anger. They signed those recall petitions. I do think there's some buyer's remorse now from some of those people. Although COVID is far from over, things are returning to normal in California. The vaccine rate is pretty high. And, you know, as we heard in that earlier piece from Florida, Newsom is able to say, look, if Larry Elder becomes governor, we're going to look like Florida and Texas and Alabama, where we've got these huge hospitalization rates and people dying. And, you know, we don't want to go back to that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I do think obviously there will be some Democrats and independents who support this. Independents are about split 50-50. Democrats are 90% opposed to the recall, according to the last poll from PPIC. So that's why it's so important to get Democrats to vote. It doesn't help Newsom if they're against the recall, but don't bother to fill in their ballot. Mm-hmm.
I have just about 30 mm-hmm. seconds with you. Sean, if this mm-hmm. recall effort fails, could it actually still hurt Newsom politically?
Yes, it depends. Well, it depends. It depends on how the margin turns out. If it turns out that he wins by a large margin, he's pretty well set up for the next gubernatorial election, which is in 14 months from now. Yeah. And he's got his base rallied. If he loses by a narrow margin, it's a little bit dicier for him.
Sean Hubler is a California correspondent for The New York Times, and Scott Schaefer, senior editor for KQED in San Francisco. As always, thank you both.
Thank you, Tanya.
Thanks.